June 7th, this at the end of the last Tate Marilyn, you've been telling a story about a trip through the Ghats.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, that a little slip on Kaka's part to follow Baba's instructions lands so many people in a lot of difficulty. Mm-hmm. So, this, as I was a child, I was greatly impressed with this, with this incident that occurred on our journey. Some noise in there.
Sorry.
Sounds
okay here.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, that the Kaka was on one of the mudguards, another person was on the other mudguard.
What is a mudguard? Springboard?
You have this sort of metal cover on the wheel, so uh-huh. that no mud flies up. What do you call that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know what it would be called, but yeah.
We call it mudguards.
Yeah. So they are outside.
Outside on the wheels. You see, this was an old type of bus. Yeah. Of course, new at that time. Yeah. But with these, it wasn't all having this streamlined shape that we have now. Mm-hmm. So on the wheels would be these round mudguards. Uh-huh. So no slush falls on the driver or the passenger. Yeah. So they were sitting perched on this and showing these flashlights to on the road, so the driver could drive the bus in pitch darkness. It was a pitch dark night. There was no moon, nothing, and a forest, steep climb, and hairpin bends. Bus jam packed. If the slightest mistake, we would all be there in several hundred feet below. So you could imagine what the situation it was. So this, Jangu, the little lad, the little infant, crying out his lungs, you know, and Kaka getting exasperated and say, "Somebody get that child to be quiet. I'm having enough difficulty steering this bus. What can anybody do?" So they and all were repeating Baba's name loudly and imploring his help. And somehow, and these flashlights would run out of power because they were small little flashlights. So every few minutes, somebody else had to give their flashlight, and so on it went. Eventually, what's that sound inside?
I hear a sound from there. Oh. Is that what you're hearing?
No, some tuck-tuck sound comes.
Right.
Yes, so somehow by Baba's grace, we negotiated these difficult mountain climbing bends and all that. And eventually we came on level ground. And as we were traveling along very slowly, because all the lights had totally gone off, all the flashlights were finished, and we were just proceeding at a snail's pace, and somehow again Baba must have sensed what's wrong, why is the bus not reached. So Baba sent Donkin back. That's how I remember that Donkin was on the journey. And Donkin comes back in another car, and here we are all stuck now. Actually, then I think Kaka gave up because without lights we couldn't go ahead. It was pitch dark. It could lead to some serious accident. So just then Donkin arrives, you know. And then Donkin, he was a good engineer also. So he starts fiddling around, why is the lights not going on? So he goes under the bus, I remember. Mm-hmm. And there he sees the snapped wire. You see, when that bus had entered that ditch, it had snapped the wire leading to the headlights from the battery. So he just connected the wire, and on came bright lights. And just when the most difficult part of the journey was over. So then Kaka was really frantic for the mistake that he made. And then we all shouted Baba's Jai and then proceeded on to the journey. And eventually reached a place called Jog Falls. So
this was on the same day or?
Same night.
What a day.
Yeah, so Baba was there in the dark bungalow and he was inquiring as to why I'm still getting that noise in there. Is it the chair that's making the noise?
I hear a noise from out there.
No, some as if the tape is stuck and tuck 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 sound comes. No, nothing now. I think probably your chair is making the noise.
Could be.
Yeah, that's it. So I got misled about it. I thought there's something wrong with the tape. All right. So then Baba was in this dark bungalow there, and when we arrived, of course, it was very late. We, I think, reached destination at about 10 in the night. And that night, Baba had arranged that we were to see the Jog Falls in the night. Here, this whole party comes travel weary, exhausted, all scared, with the last ounce of their energy sat undergoing this ordeal. And Baba says, "You all so late. I've arranged for this Jog Falls to be seen. Come on home, get along, get ready." So we entered this dark bungalow, and it was on the edge of the precipice, as it were. And in the front side, there was this river which was flowing, and it then had a big fall, about 80 to 100. 100 feet or more, I don't know. It was a very big fall that the river had. And so Baba wanted that these falls should be seen in the night. So the people were sent on the other side of that deep chasm in the middle. And they had to put these big straw balls, light it up, and throw it into the river. And then they would light up the whole fall of the river. Mm. So it was a sort of tourist attraction at that time. And so Elizabeth was asked to arrange for that to be done. And some arrangement was done. But nobody was in the mood really. Everybody was half asleep. And so there was a huge carpet. So Baba says, "Have the carpet unrolled and all of you sit on the on the veranda there, and it will start. So observe this. I want you all to see this." Nobody dare say anything. Suddenly, someone brought the message: "Baba, this is not the place where we'll get the best view. We have reserved the first class dark bungalow. This is the second class." So Baba says, "Roll up the carpet, get ready, we move on to the next dark." It was on a higher level. So we remember Baba, as it is, they were all unwilling to see the whole thing. They had to pack up the whole thing, get all the luggage back into the bus, and move up to the higher dark bungalow. And from there, then again, another big carpet had to be unrolled. We all sat there, and And then, of course, the signal was given to those people there, and they started throwing those lighted straw balls on the falls, and it lighted up the whole thing, and it was really a remarkable sight. I still remember.
Despite the exhaustion, despite everything, you have the memory of the falls.
So it was past midnight when the whole thing was over. And then we all had to unroll the bedding rolls and lie down. No food, nothing, nobody was in the mood. And early morning the journey had to be resumed again. So this was a very remarkable thing that had occurred.
Well, quite a day that was.
Yeah. And from there, of course, then we proceeded on. It was known as Amboli Ghat. I remember the name now. Very, very difficult to negotiate. Probably now they must be having better roads and better communication. But at that time, it was real nightmarish sort of thing. And then we proceeded on and came to Amboli. It was a very scenic place. It's on the edge of the mountain, and from there we could see several mountain ranges, one after the other. Way in the distance was supposed to be the coastline.
Wow. Yeah. Where is this, south of Mahabaleshwar still?
Much south. It's near Goa. Because Karwar and Goa and all these places in the south. Yes. So, more to the southern end of Maharashtra, the coastal region. They call it the Konkan Coast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, from there, not Maharashtra. We were in Karnataka state, because we were proceeding from Bangalore to the coastal region, and we were heading for a place called Karwar. Karwar is a seaport in the state of Karnataka, which is below Maharashtra. Yeah, so that is where we were, below Maharashtra. So we were heading for Karwar, a nice scenic tourist spot, having good beaches. So then we were in Amboli on the en route there, and of course, you know, Baba was always in search of a perfect boy. So at Amboli, a boy was picked up, a Christian boy named Antun. His name was Antun. I think it was Antun, if I remember right. He was a nice looking lad, and Baba liked him. So he was asked to accompany the party. Somehow the parents must have agreed to part with the boy, and he joined us for the rest of the journey.
How old was he? Was he your age?
He was older than me. Yeah. So then he was rather illiterate, you know, and of the villages there. A typical Goanese family, Christian. And he was so illiterate that he had never even seen a timepiece. So I remember I was teaching him how to read the clock. I had an old timepiece with me and would turn the hands and show him, now you read how much this is, what's this time. So Baba would happen to pass by and he would like me teaching the boy something. Yeah. And so we proceeded on from Amboli, then we went on to Karwar. And a nice hotel was booked by Elizabeth there. But Baba was traveling incognito. So whenever anybody would have to call Baba, his it was decided to call Baba as Babusi.
Babusi?
Yes.
So that does that have a meaning? Or it's just
nothing, so that nobody should know that it was Baba who was being referred to. So Baba wanted to be undisturbed. That was the phase when Baba always traveled incognito.
Would he be, would he, like in some of the pictures of Baba in the West, we'd have sunglasses or things. Did he do that?
No, not while traveling with us. But didn't want his identity to be disclosed to anybody there.
Yeah.
So they would refer to him as Babusi. And we were in this hotel, and I was a young kid, so the waiters and all got interested. They would ask me, who's this gentleman you're traveling with? And I just happened to blurt out, he's God, his name is Mehr Baba, when I was even not supposed to say anything. And the next day that waiter came with his family for Baba's darshan. And Baba looked askance, how did he come to know? Who revealed my identity? Eventually I was caught in. And Baba tweaked my ear. He said, don't you know that nobody should know about this? Yeah, so I was innocent at that time. And by inadvertently revealed his identity. But somehow his personality always attracted people. So being a child, they got out this information from me. The waiters there.
So there was no further punishment besides a tweak of
no,
just a reminder.
It wasn't an intentional thing, you know. So when you commit a breach of his instructions by inadvertently, then you were let off with the minimal punishment. So I remember in Karwa, Baba would take us to these lovely beaches. There were several beach fronts, and all the women and Baba would go there. Baba would stand on the edge of the waters with his lingas drawn up, you know, and the waters would rush up, probably blessing the oceans, I think. What work he was doing, we don't know. But I remember there were beautiful shells which we would collect on the Karwar sea coast. It was a very scenic place. Yeah. And one particular beachfront he took us, there were these huge waves. And there he asked the women to go for swimming. So I remember my sister Meru, younger sister, she was also going there. But she never knew how to go beyond the waves. So instead of diving underneath, she would keep floating. So she tried to swim, and the waves would push her back onto the coast, and she would lie flat on the ground, try to go again. And she was such a comical sight. Baba would have a nice laugh. Eventually she said, you come back now, you don't know how to get through. But the other women knew how to go through it, and they swam out some distance, and then Baba clapped and brought them back. So those were little incidents there. From Karwar, I think we proceeded on to Goa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At these places, some sort of a house had been rented in advance.
So sometimes hotels, sometimes houses, whatever was available. Yeah. And yes, before Karwar, we went to a place called Savantwadi, which was on the slopes of the hills. And I remember the Rani of Savantwadi had invited Baba to her place. And it was a big party she had for Baba, a tea party sort of thing. And we arrived all disheveled in the bus, and there we were in the party she had given for Baba, the Rani of Savantwadi.
Did she have some of her own elegant guests there?
Probably. I didn't notice all. But there was a big party, I remember, in the open gardens. She had invited us to her palace.
Yeah.
From there we went to Karwar, and then we proceeded to Goa. And we were in a very good hotel, supposed to be a very good hotel, but it was very unclean and dirty. A typical Goanese hotel, you know, of those times. And yeah, we were there, and Baba would take us to different tourist spots there on the beaches. Then I remember we went to this church of St. Xavier's, where his body is, St. Francis Xavier's body is kept in a casket. So it was covered up that time. But somehow they allowed Baba's party to go in around there. Yes. So Baba must have cast his glance on the body or not, I don't know. Probably, I think.
It seems like I do remember something about Baba's, about St. Francis and Xavier.
Is anything Baba mentioned by Kitty about this visit to the church or anything? Probably, I think.
There is some interesting episode, I don't remember if it was Goa or somewhere else, of Baba contacting an agent.
Yeah. In Goa, Baba suddenly asked the car to be halted, and one old man with a beard suddenly came and opened the door, and everybody was so shocked because Baba was with the women and they were in strict seclusion. So somebody tried to, I think, intercede and push off the man, but Baba gestured not to. And they had some little signs or something, and then there was just the man went away. Baba never mentioned anything, but later on he said it was my agent with whom he had had an appointment, as it were. So, yes, how that man happens to come at that time, at that place, Baba asking the car to be stopped. So these are his we get slight glimpses of his internal workings, which is all done in utmost secrecy.
With you all right there.
Yeah.
Baba does it secretly.
Yeah. So we didn't even know until Baba said he is one of my agents in Goa. So that's how Baba would work.
Yeah. So there was still quite a big party. Your father was still there?
No, I don't recollect my father being there. I think after Bangalore he must have gone back or something.
Your mother was?
Yes, the rest of us were there.
But now Shreemai wouldn't be traveling.
No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't be traveling with us. Definitely no. Because she wasn't in that kind of health, you know. So she had her problems also. Whenever she felt like, she would join. Yeah. She was in Bangalore also, as I said, for that opening ceremony. Then in Goa, I think this was the highlight of going to that St. Francis's Cathedral or something. We were there for a few days. And of course, we had problems crossing the border because Goa was Portuguese territory.
Oh.
And I remember that there was strict customs barrier there. And the luggage had to be checked by the customs officials. And Baba at that time, that was the period when he was carrying this, he was asking one of the women,
Korshet,
to carry a bag, which I think contained the book that Baba had written, if I mistake not.
I don't think Korshet knew, but she was never to allow it to touch the ground.
Exactly, yes. So somehow the customs official never noticed that bag, because that had not to be opened. Nobody was allowed to even touch it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So there was that tension.
Yeah.
That
so in the customs, they never saw that bag. Otherwise, they opened everything and ransacked everything because they were not on good terms, the Portuguese officials. So we had to pass through the customs.
So Goa must have been its own little world at that time.
Oh yes, it was a sort of a Portuguese enclave on the Indian subcontinent. Mm-hmm. A different culture altogether almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Typical Goanese culture, as they call it. Highly influenced by the Portuguese. Yes. So their language also has many Portuguese words.
Did Baba seem to like it there? Could you tell things like that? Whether Baba liked it?
No, I wouldn't know that. There was no question about liking it. Mostly, whenever his work had to be done, he had to go there, that's all. Mm-hmm. So everything seemed to be central to his work. Mm-hmm. And all this must be a sort of also ran sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
An occurrence which would happen as his work was being done. Mm-hmm. That's how I think it was. The central thing was his internal working. He had must be having to contact people, his mass, his agents. So all these journeys would be there. So it was by the way all these things were happening.
You know, it's funny because I suppose looking at the Baba's journeys from the outside, it would begin to seem as though it was all erratic and plans and making and broken all the time.
Yeah.
And yet I get the sense that Baba was always very, very purposeful and seemed to know quite definitely when time was up, it's up, time to go.
That's right.
He was decisive.
Yeah. Howsoever interesting it could be, a place or something, if he had finished his work there, we just had to leave with him. No tarrying, even for a moment. Mm-hmm. So that sort of thing gave us the hint that it was all part of his planned work, that it was being unfolded, and we were just going along in the whole thing, the whole process.
Along for the ride.
Yeah, that's right. That's the expression. So that's how we journeyed on, and I think from there then we headed back to Mehrabad. I don't remember other halts that we might be having. But I remember we didn't go to Mehrabad. When we came along, then we went straight to Happy Valley.
Really?
Yes.
Bus and all?
Yes, but everything. But on the way, I forget to tell you, Gustadji was my companion in the car. So Gustadji started to teach me his sign language. So he says, on these long journeys, we will talk to each other to break the monotony, you know. So he had these very interesting stories and yarns that he would be able to tell me. And I enjoyed conversing with him, you know. So
you got good at reading his
stories. Yeah, so he taught me very patiently. So the vowels were, this was A, E, I, O, and U. These were the five vowels, and of course the consonants were easy. B would be like this, or C would be this, D would be this. The usual outline of the things. And I could pick up nicely, and we would get along very well.
So even though he'd have to do it a letter at a time, he could go fast enough that the story would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. We would have a nice time. Some way to pass the time on these long stretches that we have to cover each day in the heat and the glare and whatnot, the dust. Because Baba chose a nice time to travel, you know.
This was still May.
Yes.
Still May.
It was
so the worst of the summer.
Worst of the summer. But of course those hilly places were pleasant. I remember Amboli Ghat was quite pleasant. It had rained there, and it was a beautiful place. All forests and wild jasmine growing everywhere. So we had this beautiful aroma. All this seems to have been indelibly impressed upon my mind.
Yeah.
After all these years, I still remember that.
You know, before getting to Happy Valley, I have half a memory here. Something about place in spelled W-A-I.
Why?
Why?
No, no. Not on this journey at least.
That must be mixing that up. Yeah, she mentions Karwar. Yeah.
She mentions Karwar and then
yeah.
Probably Goa.
Oh yeah, okay. Beautiful Goa. Uh-huh. He met one of his conscious agents at the tomb of St. Francis Xavier.
That's right. Yeah.
And yeah, Elizabeth. Yeah, he contacted Elizabeth first. And then here it says the next day he contacted Elizabeth again, I think.
Uh-huh.
Or just Elizabeth.
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah. In Goa, yeah. Baba had said that night that he would be leaving, and then the next day she contacted Elizabeth and said he suddenly wanted to go. And then she just jumps from Goa to Mirabai.
That's right. So I don't think there was any particularly interesting place we halted after that. But probably we might have passed through Pune, if I remember right.
Mm.
We halted at Baba's place, Baba house. Baba met mother.
Mm.
If I recollect rightly, I'm not so sure.
Now you had you been to Pune before? Because you were in
no,
Pune.
Yeah. That was my first faint recollection of Pune.
Yeah.
Being at we were outside. Right. Near Baba house in the lane, and Baba was mm-hmm. with mother or something. But I forget to mention, we also visited Belgaum on this bus journey.
Yeah.
And in Belgaum, a funny incident occurred mm-hmm. where Elizabeth said, Baba, we'll have a treat of ice cream. It's so hot, so let's have ice cream. So Baba says, all right, ice cream. But my order is, that after ice cream, you must have garlic chutney, each one of you. And you should have seen Elizabeth's face, because she detested garlic. So, but that chutney had to be brought, and now ice cream had to be eaten, because it was, they couldn't back out now. So everybody had the ice cream and then this garlic chutney on top of it.
Combination.
Yeah, so that nobody should get a sore throat, Baba said. So garlic chutney is a must. So this was our trip to Belgaum. It was a nice, beautiful place then. One of the Manli Vishnu master had his relations there in Belgaum. Yeah. So we visited that house there in Belgaum.
You know, I'm getting the impression Belgaum was one of the places Baba would go. I had associated it primarily with the new life.
Yes, it was the first training ground for Baba's Mangli there at Belgaum. It was a nice place.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice, it has more rainfall, and so it's more cool there. And it's a good place.
Yeah.
But there is a dispute between Maharashtra and Karnataka. Maharashtra claims Belgaum as its territory, whereas it has been ceded to Karnataka. So even now there is a dispute about it. But both languages run concurrently, Marathi and...
Tamil?
No, Canaries. In Karnataka, they have this Canaries language. There are several South Indian languages which are totally different from each other.
Mm.
Yeah, there's this Malayali language, Canaries, Tamil, Telugu. Telugu is the main language of Andhra.
Yeah.
So, but all totally different.
You know, as you relate a lot of these places, and, you know, I've never been there, they're essentially unfamiliar to me, but one thing that strikes me is that Shivaji had much to do with that whole area.
Oh, really? Oh.
Or if he did not himself, then he was at war or otherwise engaged with kingdoms that were located there.
Probably Baba must be covering up those tracks which he made on horseback in his earlier incarnation.
I was wondering if he hadn't taken some of these very routes
probably,
earlier on.
Yeah. Shivaji was great, really. When we read his life, we are reminded so much about Baba. Yeah, his strict discipline and the way people would adore him. Even the lowliest soldier would be prepared to lay down his life for Shivaji.
Yeah.
So who could claim such loyalty and allegiance?
Yeah.
But Baba himself, yes.
Yeah.
So there's no question about it. Yeah. So then we reached this place called Happy Valley. The local name for it is Dongargan. That's the village. Dongar means mountain, so a mountain village. And the British had named it Happy Valley. Some soldiers had discovered this place. And Ahmadnagar being very barren and dry, and some soldiers from the barracks must have traveled down here and discovered this valley. So it suddenly dips down, you know. This whole Ahmadnagar is a plateau, and when you go towards this side, you'll see that the whole ground just gives way, and there's a deep valley surrounding this plateau.
Just a couple of miles from here.
Yeah, just two or three miles down to the north. And it was very scenic when we were there. There were all these waterfalls. At that time, there was a lot of water all around here. And I remember we stayed there for 3 days with Baba.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was there some sort of bungalow or?
Yes, there's a dark bungalow in Happy Valley.
Okay.
It has several levels of construction. If you have ever noticed, have you been there?
You know, I haven't been there in about 15, 20 years.
So if you go, then on the ground is the ground floor, but then there are stairs on either side which descend down to lower levels. So there are several lower levels down till you reach the bottom of the valley. Yeah, it's nice,
picturesque,
and each level opens out onto the view of the valley in front. And it was heavily wooded then. And Baba would take us out for walks in the evenings through those forests and across those little waterfalls. There's that Sita Kund there, and the Ram Mandir is there. And I think Baba gave a poor program of feeding or something while we were there. I have a hazy recollection, I'm not so sure, but there was some program Baba did.
So this is your landing in the Ahmadnagar area.
Yeah. After traveling with Masaji on that train journey.
Uh-huh.
So this was after so many years I came back here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Quite a long detour.
Although actually it was only, what, about 8 or 9 months?
No.
More than that?
Several years. We left in 38, and this was, I think, 1940 or 41, probably.
40.
That's right.
Yeah.
So after several years, I came back.
Yeah.
Then from there, we went back to Mehrabad. And from Mehrabad, then, I don't know, at that time there was some meeting or something, I'm not sure. We were there. And then Baba sent me and Sarwar and the family, along with Heeraj, back to Bangalore. Because my school was to reopen, you know.
Oh.
Probably I must have been late also.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. As soon as we returned from the blue bus journey, we entered Ahmadnagar and went straight to Saroj Cinema. And there we had two shows shown to us, traveling all those miles,
right.
You know, straight into a theater in the mid-afternoon or something. And I remember the film that was shown was Wizard of Oz.
Really?
Yeah, one of the two films that were shown. So we saw that film and then proceeded to Happy Valley.
Now, when Baba would send you to a film, would these be movies that he had seen or that one of his mandali had recommended? Or
no, something running there.
Whatever.
And if Baba liked it, or if his work was there, he would sit through the film, or halfway through, or ask the film to be changed, or some other film to be put. Because we would have special shows. It was Sarosh's own theater. So, exclusively for Baba and Mandali it would be there. And then after that, we left. And we were at Happy Valley.
For these showings, do you remember, did Baba sit with you in those movies?
Yes, he was there. The whole party was there with all those cars and buses and everything. Yeah.
Unpacked, the blue bus packed.
All dusty and weary. Yeah, all packed luggage on top of the bus, and we are seeing this film. And I remember the boy was with me, seated beside me.
This Anton.
Anton or Kaitan, I don't remember. One of the two names.
Yeah.
So that was the last I saw of him. And then Baba asked Sarosh to train him as an operator. And for many years, he was the operator in Sarosh's theater.
Oh.
Yes, so he was trained for that. Baba looked to his whole thing. So he was a nice operator, very intelligent, bright kid.
Yeah, yeah.
For many years, he served there.
You know, in this search, jumping back, the search for the perfect voice, do you have any idea what Baba, what his criteria were? I mean, the Mandali must have been looking for something. Were you in touch with that at all?
No, I don't remember, but one day we were seated in Guru Prasad and he just tells Baidul to get up and go to Bombay or somewhere and search a boy for him. And Baba happened to mention that even if the boy has the face of the moon, but if he has sweat on his hands, don't bring him. I remember that little thing. Some little remark he made at that time.
I get the impression that the physical appearance was somehow important, which is part of that.
Probably, yes. I was too small then to know what Baba's preferences were. But there are many interesting stories of this boy and how Baba was working. He had some work with the youth, you know. So probably he was working this way, unbeknown to us what his real internal working was. But these boys would be brought, they would be with Baba for some time. Then one boy was even brought to Bindra House, I remember. And Baba would be with him, converse with him, and the boy would start recognizing Baba's gestures. Yes, so many boys have come to Baba like that. Some work he must be doing with them. Sowing his seeds for the future generations, probably.
I mean, I always try to say, what became of these boys? What would become of them? It would be fascinating.
Yes, his seeds of love, so that in future generations they would, I suppose, do his work. Then from there we went back to Bangalore. And Baba had arranged for us to have a rented bungalow there because the links was given up. Yeah. After Baba left, a big Maharani bought that place and made a different thing out of it. Yeah. It was a nice place. So then a nice little cottage was taken for us. And we were then staying in that cottage.
For that would be you and your mother and Erich.
Erich was there. So sometimes he would be called, but mainly he was there for most of the stay. I remember my father was also would come and stay with us for some time. And we were there for quite a few years. This was from 1940 to 1942. So I continued with my schooling. Sarva continued with her schooling. And we were there for quite a number of years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And one very important incident that I remember was that Baba had his last physical meeting with his master Upasani Maharaj at Dahigaon.
Yeah.
And after having that meeting, he drove straight to our place in that cottage.
All the way, a drive of many days.
I don't know. Could be not many days, about a day and a half, yeah. We had that trunk road to Bangalore. So I remember Baba was expected at about 10 in the night. So the family had made all the arrangements and we were all anxiously awaiting Baba. And then I was so sleepy that I simply dozed off. And Baba came, was there with the family for the whole night. Nobody slept, but I was sleeping away. So Baba told them not to wake me up. I was still young then. Yeah, so straight from his meeting he had come there and he was in a very good mood and gave all sorts of talks. You should ask my sister Mamu to tell you about that. She has some very good Baba stories also. So if you can get her in a good mood, then she'll be able to tell you about this. And Baba says, today is a great day. The entire charge of the universe is now with me. And I have a great burden on my work, of work on me now. Because that was the time when Maharaj, it seems, gave the full charge to Baba to handle his own creation, you know. And Baba was in a good mood.
Did he talk about the meeting with Maharaj at all? Or did he say
he mentioned that Maharaj wept in front of me, asking me to break my silence, but I didn't do it because I would have to suffer a lot. So Maharaj was weeping on my behalf. This is what my family tells me. So it was a very powerful meeting, it seems. It was a very secluded place. The whole thing had been screened off. Nobody was allowed to even look that side when the two masters met. A very high-powered thing, I suppose.
So you had Baba with the immediate sort of afterglow of this.
Yeah.
And he stayed for several days?
No. Just for the night, and then he went off somewhere. I don't know what. Probably Kitty might be having it in her diary or what, I don't know. She doesn't mention anything about this meeting of Maharaj.
No. Because the...
then it might be in Chanji's diary, perhaps.
Yeah, probably
So, Adi Senior was there when we were staying in Bangalore. The office was still there.
Oh, so Adi had stayed...
Adi was there. Bangalore was the... was Baba's office. Yes, the office was there.
Oh, not Khushru Quarters.
No. But then later on Khushru Quarters. But Adi was stationed there and his sister was kept with us. Her name was Dolly.
Yes.
So Baba had kept his sister with us in our little cottage and Adi was by himself managing Baba's office there. And the publication, the Mahe Baba journals would be printed.
So from Bangalore?
I don't know whether it was printed from Mohan Press here, but the editing and all that had to be done from there.
I see. Well, Baba really had quite a substantial connection with Bangalore then.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah. And then we were there for some time. Baba would call us, I think, when the vacations were there. Mm-hmm. So one time I remember Baba was in Ceylon while we were stationed there. Mm-hmm. And it was a vacation time. So a telegram arrived that we had to join Baba at Kandy. There's a place called Kandy there. It's a hill station in central Ceylon, right up in the mountains. It's a very scenic place. So, of course, Ceylon was again a different country, so we had to have vaccination and smallpox vaccination and the cholera and all this. So, we were all in readiness. And suddenly, Baba cancelled our coming there because he shifted from Kandy onto the west coast to a place called Calicut in South India. So he sent a telegram that we must now join him at Calicut. So I remember we went from our place to Calicut and joined Baba there. It was a nice place. I think it's also on the seashore, on the coast. So we went there with Baba for some time.
Do you remember anything about that visit or any of these things?
One little, tweaky little incident. Baba was there and he called me into his room and he says, "Look, when I clap, you must start smiling. And when I clap back, you must suddenly become serious. Can you do that?" So I said, "Yes, Baba, I'll do it." So he clapped and I started smiling. The clap again. He says, "You do it nicely." One little incident was there. Baba would come out with funny little things, you know.
I mean, how would he come up with these things? It's a funny idea.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever heard such a thing?
No. Sounds like a good game.
Yeah.
But you must have been about 11 or 12.
Yeah, about 11.
Yeah. Merwan, how are you doing? We've been going for about 2 hours or so.
Until they call us for lunch, we'll carry on. Yes, so unless you are tired.
No, I'm fine.
Yes, so we were in Calicut for some time. And then from Calicut, we went on to Jaipur. Baba took us to Jaipur. I think it was in that time only. So in Jaipur, Baba was in a big bungalow. And it had a high wall surrounding it, I remember. Mm-hmm. Something like a little wada, you know, of those old time chieftains. So, big place. And there used to be scare of lions and wildlife. So, Baba would warn us not to stray anywhere. When darkness fell, to all to be in the rooms and all that.
So this must have been outside of the city.
Yeah, Jaipur was then quite forested, you know. Uh-huh. And then Baba would take us to these different palaces. And I remember a visit to the palace of Jaipur, where they had this room which was all embedded with mirrors. Actually, it was said that in the old times they were all embedded with diamonds. Uh-huh. And so the whole room would be full of light. Yeah, there were all these fancy rooms they had in these big palaces. So Baba would take us to these places, the Pink City as they call it.
Where is, you know, I keep hearing about Jaipur.
It's like capital of Rajasthan, I think.
I see.
North of Gujarat.
And it
very
sounds
deserty place. Yeah.
Dry. What was this, a Muslim's place?
No, no, Rajput. The Rajput, the warrior class of Hindus.
Oh, I see. Because I keep hearing of it as quite a big celebrated place.
Yes.
A cultural center or a beautiful palace of its own.
Very good. Camels and peacocks and all.
Yeah.
Nice place.
Yeah. How long was Baba there? Now, I've seen a mention of Jaipur somewhere in this book. I've seen it mentioned 42 or 41 or something.
I think one of these journeys.
Yeah, here Kitty mentions Ceylon. Bungalow 2 miles from Colombo. Then we moved up to Kandy in the hills.
From there, Baba went on to Calicut. Probably she might have missed it or something.
This is a Rajputana or Rajasthan. Third class compartment. Oh, yes, Baba said that there's a choice of going third class compartment for 3 days or 33 days in the bus.
33 days in the bus.
He gave him the choice. So they prefer to go in the train.
Third class.
What a funny choice. That's right. And he said in Jaipur, nice house, compound, camels, peacocks.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my memory seems to be good on this.
It certainly does, yeah. So this would have been in early 1941.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which month.
It was the warm months because vacation weather.
Yeah.
And I remember it was the season of flies. So the whole place would be swarming with flies.
Uh-huh.
And Margaret, to avoid the flies, she thought of a novel method.
Yeah.
So she had all her legs with the syrup spread on that. And the flies would be attracted to that. And she would quietly have her lunch and dinner without any trouble from the flies.
Because they eat on her legs?
Yeah, with all that syrupy thing she put on them.
Really?
Yeah. Otherwise all our plates would be full of flies. We couldn't drive them off. I don't know. Probably it was the season of flies or something.
Oh, it sounds awful.
Yeah, it was. That was one thing we noticed there. Sick of those flies.
If you were there in the hot season, that must have been very hot indeed, because that's the desert.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jaipur was on the edge of the desert. And I remember there, Baba, first time I saw Baba flying a kite.
Oh.
So Mani was the one who held the firki. Firki is that big sort of
spool
with long handles to it. And it is built specially that way. And the one who handles that firki is the assistant. And there's the kite flyer. And they would have these competitions kite fights, they call it.
Oh.
So the string of the kite had glass powder glued onto it, which is called manja. In the local language. And this manja was meant to cut the kite of the string of the kite of the opponent. You know. So people would keep flying kites from different places, and then they would have these little dog fights in the air, as it were. And the one who could cut the opponent's kite won the game.
Well, you would cut it with there's a particular part of the string, and you would get the kite to a place where it would rub on the string.
Yeah, the first few feet of the string would have this glass powder glued onto it.
The first few feet from the kite.
From the kite.
Yeah.
And the rest of it would be ordinary string, because the entanglement would be at the top level. So whoever had the better skill, you know, it required skill.
Yeah.
When the kites entangled with each other, they would let go, not to pull the string. Yeah. And then give the right time a tug so that the other kite could get cut. And then he would have the right to that kite.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
So that's how the game would be played.
So
So Baba was flying this kite in the compound of that Jaipur palace. And Mani was holding the spool. And Baba was flying the kite very skillfully. He was quite expert in it. And this kite went right up, you know. And another boy outside the compound was flying a kite. He noticed Baba's kite. So they engaged in a fight, you know. Now Baba was doing this, and it seems Mani made a mistake, because when the kites get entangled, then you have to release the thread very fast. So she slipped in that, I think, and Baba's kite got cut. So Baba said, what you did? Look, you didn't do this the thing right. And then that boy took away the kite. He actually pulled it down to his side. And I looked over the wall, and that little boy was flying the kite.
So there'd be these competitors who hadn't even seen each other. Yeah. There's a battle up in the air.
Correct, that's right.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. So that incident I remember. But Baba's kite getting cut. And that was the time when the seven realities were published. Uh-huh. If I mistake not. And Baba had Norina or somebody read it out while we were sitting out in the compound. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time these seven realities were made public.
Did you in those days, where were you staying? Were you still staying on the women's side?
Yeah.
Would you ever see Mara? In all those
yeah,
times.
Of course.
So you'd see her
all the way, yeah. Except that I was not to touch her.
Yeah.
And they were in different rooms. We all had rooms, you know.
Right.
But we would meet. Yeah. And there, yeah.
So now, actually, very, very few males ever saw Mara in those years, and you were one of them.
So I was there, and then Changu, and later on, Naju Kotwal's brother Adi.
Yeah.
He was small also.
Yeah.
So he was allowed to come.
Would you ever have any contact with Mara especially, or would she
not
sort
much.
Of move in her own orbit?
Not much. Yeah. But with Mani I would be very friendly. She would play games with us. Uh-huh. So would be very friendly with her. Uh-huh. Attracted to her pranks and she was also young, so would be full of mischief and games, innocent games we played. We'd play Gilli Danda or some little children's games would be there.